Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the hour 3 Central Time, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to take a dive into the book of Revelation today. We're talking about prophecy. We're talking about the fact that Jesus is coming back. This is great news for us.
It is.
Who are believers. We should be looking forward to his return. And here's one of those passages that really makes us look forward to this event that we call the second coming. It's in chapter 1. And the book of Revelation, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We want to think of it in terms of judgment and current events and all of these sort of things. But it really is the revelation of Jesus, as is the entire Word of God.
Yes.
This is God's testimony concerning his Son. And so we get to take a peek at this Jesus seated at the right hand of God the Father in his exalted position of glory. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. Now, that should be encouraging. Why? Because Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:6 that we are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We're already there with him as far as God is concerned.
Yeah.
That's where we are. We're in Christ. And when we die, we're going to be absent from the body and present with him in that position as well. So we get a chance to take a peek to see a little bit of the exalted Jesus in his glory. Now, here in chapter 1, in verse 4, the text reads this, John to the seven churches that are in Asia. So the Apostle John is writing this. He has this vision, and he says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Now, that's good news. That's God.
Yes.
That's Jesus Christ. He is the one who is, who was, and who is to come. So right there, right at the very beginning, we get the note that Jesus is coming back. He was, he is, and he is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. So whatever has happened to Jesus, that's kind of the pattern as to what is going to happen for each and every one of us. So his body came out of the grave. He swapped the mortal for the immortality as far as his body was concerned, the perishable for the imperishable. He was the firstborn. He is the example of what's going to happen to each and every
yes.
one of us. So, again, that's great hope, isn't it? That's words, a message that encourages us to look forward with hope and expectation. Now, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So this is to Jesus, the one who has freed us from our sins by his blood, the one who loves us. Now, you have somebody that is majestic, who is exalted, who is seated at the right hand of God, who spoke and the worlds came into being, is all powerful by his very hands. He holds this world together. To think that he's coming back, that can put fear and trembling into the heart of any person. And here's a verse that calms that, that yes. knocks it out. Perfect love, casting out all fear to him who loves us. This Jesus loves us. He loved us then when he demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died. He loves us now. He loves us eternally. And that act on the cross 2,000 years ago freed us from our sins by his blood.
Yeah.
This is good news, folks. This is the gospel message carrying us forward to the very end of time when Jesus is going to come back. And so it says we've been made a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and, and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail or mourn on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So those of us who have received Jesus, we know something about him that the world does not. We know that he loves us. We have experienced freedom from our sins through his shed blood. And so when the Bible talks about the fact that he's coming back, we can rejoice knowing that he's coming back to bring salvation to those eagerly waiting for him. This is good news, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it's the most amazing news. You look at this, and most of the passage that you read is John's saying hello. And he said hello after he got all this stuff and had to write a little, you know, introduction piece. And what he does right there in that little paragraph is explain the whole book.
Yes.
The whole letter in just a few words. And when we see this and realize it's Jesus, and because he's the firstborn of the dead, and he's the Alpha and the Omega, he's all of these things. He is God himself. What is there to fear?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
As John wrote, again, he's pretty consistent in his gospel accounts. He described himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Mm-hmm. We see that love theme in throughout the gospel, throughout his three letters.
Yep.
We see it here as well. Jesus Christ loves us.
Yes.
That's the revelation. That's what we didn't know about God the Father. We thought of him as the law-giving judge, the one who stood ready to condemn, the one who stood ready to punish. But in Jesus, we learn something different about God the Father, that he actually is full of grace and truth, and he has put that in the very heart of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the one who is full of grace and truth. So this love drives out that fear that we have, and that fear being the fear of punishment for our sins.
Yeah.
That's what we found out about God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And that love drives this fear out and replaces it with that eager expectation of his coming. This is good news.
Honestly, that's good news. You know, friends, every month we offer a very beneficial resource to our listeners who support this ministry with their gifts. Now, this month we're offering a new 2-CD series by Bob Christopher called Trail of Assurance. Everything we're talking about on the program this month is capsulized in this important series, and it is designed to take away the fear and confusion prevalent in the world today and to encourage all of us to stand firmly in the security and assurance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this new series is called Trail of Assurance, and we have a copy for you as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy, your own personal copy of Trail of Assurance. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or online at basicgospel.net. Just click that donate button, and we would love for you to partner with us in this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to Duran. Hi, Duran.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
We're doing well. How are you today?
Yes, I just had a question about 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20.
Okay.
I was going to do a little Bible study today for Wednesday's Bible study, and I was trying, you know, to make sure I understand the context of that, because I know a lot of religion likes to they read that scripture, you know, no liars, so and so will inherit the kingdom of God, and they'll stop right there and they won't keep reading. And they like to put a guilt trip on people with that scripture. And so and I realized that once you keep reading, and Paul says, that's who you once were, but you were sanctified, you were cleansed by the by Jesus Christ. And I was going back and reading the scriptures up to that scripture, and so he's dealing with the Corinthians, like they were doing lawsuits with each other and, you know, just fighting amongst each other, and Paul said, you know, don't you have a couple of people in within the church that can, you know, help y'all settle y'all's disputes or something like that? So I was trying to see, what is your take on that? Because I want to explain that within context of what Paul is talking about. And I know one thing is dealing with the identity issue, that we are children of God, and that's who we are.
Yeah, you're exactly right there, Daron. Now, the group at Corinth, they were a mess. I mean, there were all kinds of problems, divisions, you know, the haves and the have-nots. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They had somebody that was involved in such gross sexual immorality that even the pagans winced at how gross this was, and there were many people bragging about that, and so Paul is writing to correct, but the way Paul works and the way all of the apostles work, whenever they're trying to correct issues, they keep bringing people back to the grace of God. What has the grace of God accomplished in your life? And this chapter 6, is one of those great chapters that that do that. So he's saying, you know, as far as you as a child of God, why are you going to worldly means to solve matters? Don't you know that you're going to judge angels? Don't you know who you are, type of thing? And then he carries that on into this conversation about sexual immorality. Don't you know that you've been bought with a price, that your body is for another use? It's for God's use, and we're to make it available to God. And so that's what this is all about. And so in that conversation, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So he's saying to the Christians, why are you stepping back into those unrighteous ways? Why are you choosing to do unrighteous things? Don't you know that the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Now, that's what you once were, but you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So you've been snatched out of that world. You have been rescued from that world of darkness. You've been placed into the kingdom of God. And as a child of God, he says you're free, and that's what this next section is all about. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but I will not be enslaved by anything. So as soon as you step back into those unrighteous ways, you've stepped back into bondage. So here's what the gospel does. We were in a prison cell. We were there because of sin and death. The law held us in that prison cell. Well, the blood of Jesus came and opened that cell up and destroyed the lock and key. And there's no way that door can be permanently locked ever again. It swung wide open. We walked out. Now, when we choose to submit to the desires of the flesh, we're actually walking right back into that jail cell. Now, there's no door that's going to lock behind us. We're freely going in, and we can freely walk out. But we're enslaving ourselves by our choices. We're free to do that, but it's not helpful. It's not beneficial. And Paul is saying, hey, why would you want to be enslaved by those things again? So he goes on through. And he comes to the final, and he says, flee sexual immorality, and here's the reason. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. This is just a conclusion that you draw in light of who you are in Christ Jesus. You're a child of God. God has sent his Spirit to take up residence in you. Your body now belongs to him. So offer your body as a living sacrifice. Allow God to use your body in such a way that it glorifies him and it sheds light into this world of darkness.
Right. Now I understand that. because Paul, you know, the Corinthians, you know, they were saved. They were a saved church, but they was just really out of control. And now I'm learning about that Corinthians. The Corinthians was something else. Well, I tell you, my pastor talks about that a lot. You know, like you said, they were into drunkenness and, you know, I guess orgies and sexual immorality and all that, even though they were saved, but, you know, they were still dealing with that stuff. And Paul saying, you know, you're a child of God, and your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to do all that. You know, don't you realize when, because they made an excuse and said that I can do anything. And the scripture says, and Paul said, yeah, but not everything is beneficial.
Yeah, so that's exactly right.
Notice what Paul is doing here. When he starts the letter, he's talking about all the divisions in the church, and he describes the church as the body of Christ. And then he brings that analogy down to the individual person. Don't you realize that you yourself are part of the body of Christ? And if we were allowing the Spirit to work in our lives individually, we as a church wouldn't be suffering from the problems we're suffering from, because as soon as I take my eyes off of Jesus, all bets are off, and you don't know where I'm going. And it's the same for the church. If the church members are walking by grace through faith, their eyes fixed on Jesus, then the church as a whole is going to walk through its community by grace through faith with its eyes on Jesus, and we can have a positive impact on the community.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help, Duran?
Yes, it does. It helps a lot and confirms what I want to, you know, kind of explain to the people with Scripture.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Well, you're so.
I know one thing. We have been made righteous because of Jesus Christ.
That's exactly.
We are righteous.
You are exactly right. Hey, Duran, I'm going to be in Temple in a couple of weeks, September 24th, Sunday, September 24th, at the Real Life Bible Church there. So hope you can come join us.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely be there. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you then, Duran. Thanks, my friend.
All right, then.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Bye-bye.
What's the rest of that? What's the address, or do you have that in front of you?
Well, it's the Real Life Bible Church. It's on 2 Apache Drive in Temple, Texas, and I will be there on Sunday, September 24th. Gina and I will be driving down and speaking at the service that morning. So any of our listeners in the Temple area, Waco, Austin,
sure,
come and join us. We would love to see you at the Real Life Bible Church, 2 Apache Drive, Temple, Texas. We'll be posting some notices of that on our Facebook page. And so stay tuned.
Good
and
deal.
We'll look forward to seeing you down in Temple.
Yeah. Well, friends, keep in mind also that every day we're streaming live video to Facebook and YouTube, and it's just one more venue to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you'll take full advantage of those. Well, guys, we had another call, but we lost it. So here's one that fits right into exactly what we're talking about this month. This is from Steve, who dropped us an email. He says, I always listen to your program and learned a lot. My question is, do you believe in the rapture of the church that will take place before the second coming of Christ? And do you believe that our Lord Jesus will reign for an actual 1,000 years in Jerusalem?
Those are loaded questions, aren't they? And boy, there's lots of debate and discussion about those very issues. As far as the rapture is concerned, are we going to be taken out of here? And the answer to that is absolutely. We are going to be called up to meet Jesus, and we're going to come back with him. Now, the question is the timing of that event. Is that a pre-trib? Is there this seven-year period, this great tribulation period? Are we taken out of that? I think the most popular belief system that's out there today would say yes, that we will be raptured before, and then 7 years of tribulation, and then wrath, and then the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm not so sure that that's the way it's going to be. Now, I grew up believing that.
Yes.
I had a Scofield study Bible, and C.I. Scofield is a dispensationalist, and he had kind of the world, the history of the world, divided up into seven different dispensations, and part of the end times had that pre-trib wrath, then the 7 years, then the second coming of Jesus, then the thousand-year reign. And it was all so nice and neat and really looked like the way to go. And then I started reading the Bible. I'm like, I don't really get all that. Now, have I come down on an exact time of the rapture and all of that? Absolutely not. I tend to think that it's coincides with the second coming of Jesus, that they're one and the same event, that we're going to be raptured, taken up, and then we're going to come back with Jesus. So it all kind of happens together. So one precedes the other, but they're all, that's how I see it. So that's kind of where I've come down. Am I right? Well, in my humble opinion, yeah. Am I going to, disagree and be dogmatic about that? No, not at all, because I'm not sure. But what I am sure of is that I have nothing to fear on either side.
Yes.
If I have to go through tribulation, if I have to go through that time of wrath, guess what? I'm going to be saved from it. Why? Yeah. Because I've already been marked out as a believer. I will never take the mark of the beast. Why? Because I already have another mark on me. And that mark has been given to me by the depositing of the Holy Spirit in me. So I'm already marked out as a child of God. Romans, 5:9 says, I'm going to be saved from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1 says the same thing. We're going to be saved from the wrath to come. There is absolutely nothing to fear. The people of Israel went through the judgments of God before there was release, and they were spared of every single one. The final one, the Passover, the blood protected them.
Yes.
So we have that same promise, don't we? The blood protects us.
Yeah.
We are saved from the wrath to come. That's what we've been marked out by, the shed blood of Jesus and the presence of the Spirit within us. Richard?
There was a preacher, radio preacher, my wife was listening to just yesterday, actually, and he was talking about these various time prophecies. And he said, the point is comfort, not calendar.
Yes.
I thought that was a really wise statement.
Right. And that's why we put together this series called Trail of Assurance. Why? Because so many people are fearful of what's up ahead, and they shouldn't be. Why? Because they've already been marked out as a believer in Christ.
Yeah.
They've already been guaranteed protection by the blood of Jesus and the presence of God's Spirit within. And so in this particular resource, we have walked through the book of Revelation, taking a stop along this trail of assurance. And it is one of the most beautiful trails you will ever walk as
Absolutely.
Far as the Word of God is concerned. It is filled with promises of assurance that just punch fear in the face, just cast it away by the powerful love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. It's called Trail of Assurance. It's a 2-CD series, and it's our gift to you this month as you make your gift to Basic Gospel to help us continue to be available to bring this good news to you. And if this month isn't good news, friends, I don't know what it is. It is great news. Well, again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Outside the U.S. and Canada, PayPal is your best way to donate to Basic Gospel, and we hope that you'll partner with us. There are so many others around this nation, around this world, who need to hear the good news that Jesus loves them, gave himself for them, and wants to give his life to them. So give us the opportunity to continue to partner with your gift to Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.